In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of the prophet Hosea, who's the first of the 12 minor prophets. We have the major prophets and the minor prophets, but they're not called minor prophets because what they said is unimportant. It's because their books are a lot smaller. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, those are the major prophets. But Hosea's book among the minor prophets is one of the larger ones. And he lived in a time that wasn't too different from our own, in that people had experienced a long period of prosperity, and as often happens, people became very corrupt. There was sexual immorality that was rampant, and people were turning away from God, and they were worshiping Baal. They were sacrificing their children to Baal. And the only difference between them and us is probably that we're more perverse than they were. We kill our children on a regular basis in this country, but we have gone to levels of depravity that I don't think the people back then could have even imagined. Of course, that's not the entire country, but that's where the worst part of our society has gone and where the rest of it seems to be following behind. The prophet Hosea, by God's providence, was married to a woman who was an immoral woman. She was a prostitute. And if you read the book of Hosea, you have these chapters where you have God speaking to the people of Israel as an unfaithful people and using this imagery of the unfaithful wife. And the prophet Hosea understood this and could put his pathos into the words that he used because he knew it up close and personal. His wife was not a faithful woman, and he had children with this woman. And at one point, they were separated. But yet he took this woman back. And the message of his prophecy is that God loves his people, and he will correct his people. He will punish his people, but he ultimately will accept back those that come to repentance. Hosea warned the people of God's coming judgment. There had already been signs of his judgment that had begun. Just as in our own time, we've begun to see God's judgment, but we haven't certainly seen the full extent of it. But he also promised that there would be a restoration for those who would return to God in repentance. And the final chapter of Hosea provides a good summation of his prophecy. It begins, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord thy God, for the people have fallen through thine iniquities. Take with you words and turn to the Lord your God. Speak to him, that ye may not receive the reward of unrighteousness, but that ye may receive good things, and we will render in return the fruit of our lips." The calamities that came upon Israel, and the northern kingdom was totally destroyed. The people were carted off in exile to Assyria. So the judgment in the northern kingdom was far heavier than the judgment that happened in the south, and there was not that many people from the northern kingdom that came back to the land, but there were some. There were faithful people even in the midst of this perverse generation. When we see God's judgment playing out in history, we should be sure that we don't blame God. It's not God's fault that this judgment is happening. We also shouldn't look to politicians to try to solve our problems. We should look to our own sins. And God's judgment can come to a nation on a big scale, but God's judgment and correction can come to us on an individual scale too. And when we're going through these things, we need to realize that these things are happening to us because of our sins. And if we repent, if we choose to accept this as being for our salvation, God will heal us. God will restore our relationship with him. And even if our nation never returns to God, we certainly hope that it does. And of course, this country was never an Orthodox country, but this was a country that had devout Christians in it that were trying to live a righteous life, and you could shame Americans into doing the right things if you simply pointed out to them the error of their ways. People had a conscience that could be pricked. But in our country today, that is a lot harder to do because people have had their consciences seared with a hot iron. But even if the country doesn't repent, and even if we go through God's judgment on this nation, if we repent as individuals, God will get us through it. We'll have peace and we'll have joy, and we will be in a right relationship even though we're surrounded by ruin and destruction. God knows his own, and he knows how to save his own. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. So when it talks about Assyria shall not save us, this refers to people looking to other countries for help, big powers in the world. We will not ride upon horses. This is referring to people counting on the strength of their own armies. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. This is referring to the idolatry, because these were the things that people were turning to instead of God. But for those that turn to God, the fatherless, they find mercy in God. Looking for deliverance from earthly powers is always going to be a disappointing thing. Assyria was, at that time, the greatest power on the earth. It was the first great empire in the Western world. And even so, to lean upon a earthly power is to lean upon a reed. If you lean upon a reed has some stiffness to it, but if you put your weight on it, it's going to break, and then that reed is going to go right through your hand. It's not going to actually support you. The Psalms say, put not your trust in princes and the sons of men in whom there is no salvation. Also, turning to false religion is never going to be a solution. As a matter of fact, it makes the situation a lot worse. You can't find truth by turning to lies. Earlier in the prophecy of Hosea, he says, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. And then elsewhere he says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy ways and the multitude of thy mighty men. These are all things that are not going to save us. And in our own country, we pat ourselves on the back and being the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. That power can be gone in an instant. And we already see how corruption and moral degradation is eaten away at our military strength. And so if you think that our military is going to save us or our politicians are going to save us, you are going to be sorely disappointed. He continues, I will restore their dwellings. I will love them truly, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as dew to Israel. He shall bloom as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and he shall be as a fruitful olive, and his smell shall be as the smell of Lebanon. They shall return and dwell under his shadow. They shall live and be satisfied with corn, and he shall flower as a vine. His memorial shall be to Ephraim as the wine of Lebanon. A desert can bloom if it has moisture. We don't have that problem around here. We don't have places that get so dry that you only see deadness. But in the Holy Land, that's the case. But if you have rain, the desert can bloom. The moisture that's referred to here is the grace of God. And if we open up our hearts to God, though our souls were as dry and barren as a desert, God will make it to bloom with the beauty of life. It'll blossom like a lily. It will have the fragrance of the lilies and also of the trees of Lebanon, and it will be fruitful. What has he to do anymore with idols? I have afflicted him. I will strengthen him. I am as a leafy juniper tree. From me is thy fruit found. The soul that returns to God is free from their former idolatry. God has freed them. He afflicted them, but not to their utter destruction. If we, however, persist in resisting God's grace, that's where it ultimately heads. God's patience is not eternal, but God holds out the promise of repentance and salvation to us as long as we have breath in our lungs. He loves us like a husband that loves his wife. And even though the wife has been unfaithful, he's always willing to take us back. He loves us that much, but we have to respond. We have to turn in repentance. Who is wise and who will understand these things, or prudent and will know them? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the ungodly shall fall therein. If we want to walk without stumbling, If we want to know how we should live in this world, and if we want to know what it means to be truly human, and if we want to know what it means to know God, we can only find these things by following God's word and walking in the way that he has set before us. Amen.